Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Thursday right here on B&E. It's going to be 97 degrees in Austin, Texas. It'll feel like 106. How about this text we got, Buck? Somebody sent us a picture. Sunrise over Grant Park in Lake Michigan before Lollapalooza Day 1. Appreciate listening to you guys on the Horn app this morning and every morning. There you go.
Thank you.
Look at that. That's a pretty picture right there.
It certainly is.
There's the main stage of Lollapalooza on the south end of Grant Park. Yeah, Lollapalooza, the four-day festival, opens today. Foo Fighters wrap everything up on Sunday night.
Dave, yeah, Grohl, I didn't realize that yesterday, one of ZZ Top's the bass player, passed away. Was it over the weekend?
I saw that splash yesterday. I don't know when it actually came down, or at least it was just announced.
But it's one of the three guys. That's incredible. That's a rock and roll legend.
Oh man, Texas legend.
Yeah,
ZZ Top,
world legend.
No question. No question. Very, very sad. Buck off to that news. Which
bass
came
player.
Down.
Yep.
But good stuff from the texter. We appreciate you right there. And yes, sad news on that front.
Absolutely.
As we get you rolling on this
But I got a
Thursday
big,
morning.
Big buck on to former coach Demo Odoms. I think we all remember Demo. And I got the shoes over to the stadium yesterday. And Navarro Early College High School grabbed a bunch of those shoes. And I got a message from their coach. And I think Coach Labreros, he is very happy to get those shoes. He will be fitting more kids today, as a matter of fact. Travis High School got a bunch of shoes, and those things are brand spanking new, man. That was a great gift from a young lady named Morgana. Got them to me. I got them out there, and there's some kids that aren't going to have to pay for shoes. About 75 pair of brand new Nike cleats, and good stuff. Good for those kids that can't afford them. They're going to have an opportunity. Get some shoes and probably one pair of shoes.
And where did you get the shoes?
A young lady got them from a lot that was sold by the University of Texas that generally goes out all over the place to some junior colleges and places like that. She became a part of that and said, I'll buy them for a certain amount of money. And that's thousands upon thousands of dollars. You know what those Nike shoes cost you. But now there's some high school kids that mom and dad won't have to go to the store. They're being fitted for those today. And they were excited about them, too. Boy, they're good-looking shoes, man. Got silver bottoms, you know, the Nike Sharks. They're just good. They're just good shoes. I had a pair on. I was running around the yard with them on, doing some stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
doing some maneuvers.
You were in the cleats in your yard?
I did some in-routes.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I did a couple in-routes with them, you know.
Well,
so don't
nice
think I can't
you,
run from a
Morgana,
bear. Now, you don't think I can't outrun a bear with those cleats on, okay?
You cannot outrun a bear. On cleats or no cleats.
Okay.
Not buying that.
No.
Yeah. ZZ Top bassist Dusty Hill, who played bass with the band for more than 50 years.
He's the most visual one.
One of the two with the long beards, for sure.
Yeah, man.
Billy Gibbons, of course, and Frank Beard on the drums. But died in his sleep at the age of 70.
Died in his sleep. How about that?
Yeah. Sad news, for sure. One of the most famous rock acts in the world.
That's the face.
Texas Blues.
When you look at
rock
MTV,
and roll.
That's the dude right there.
Well, there are two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
The two with the long beards.
Yep.
And then, you know, then Frank Beard. The guy named Frank Beard actually is the one without the beard, right? He's the guy on the drum.
Yep.
The other two.
No, I did not sacrifice any Chinese kids for the kids here in America so that they could get the Nikes. So you can stop.
This guy said Morgana the Kissing Bandit? Remember her back in the day with the great big chest? She'd come running out. Like, remember
she kissed Nolan Ryan before, correct?
Yeah, at the Astrodome.
Okay.
Right on the lips.
Yes.
I know Miss Mama Ryan wasn't real happy about
that. I bet. Dad took it on, though.
You know what he's going to do? Took his hat off.
Absolutely.
Give her a smooch. All right, coming up in our coach's corner, very interesting story just out this morning from Stuart Mandel of The Athletic about the SEC and its ultimate goal. I think this is pretty provocative. We'll dive in there. Also, at the bottom of this hour, our friend Peter Burns of the SEC Network. He's the lead anchor there for the SEC Network, but he's got Central Texas ties for sure. His thoughts on the week's events and what's coming up today with the presidents. With that in mind, let's get you the very latest, the headlines, news of the morning on a Thursday. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start down in College Station, where in a meeting last night, the Texas A&M Board of Regents voted to fully support the SEC's expansion plan that would add Texas and Oklahoma to the league. Of course, early in the conversation last week, there was some blowback from A&M, including their athletic director, Ross Bjork, about the possibility of Texas joining the league. Well, last night, the Board of Regents put that to a vote, and according to the Houston Chronicle, only one of the nine regents voted against. Today, in a meeting of the SEC presidents, the 14, including the Texas A&M president, it is expected to be unanimous in a vote that would vote to admit the Longhorns and Sooners as the 15th and 16th members of that conference effective 2025. Both Texas and Oklahoma have regents meetings set for tomorrow morning to sign off on the move. Big 12, meanwhile, went on the offensive yesterday. According to multiple reports, the conference sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN demanding that the network stop communicating with Big 12, the Big 12's existing members. League Commissioner Bob Bowlsby then, on an interview with CBS Sports, said that he believes ESPN is conspiring to break up the Big 12 and that the broadcast network is now encouraging the American Athletic Conference to try to poach several remaining Big 12 teams to further destabilize the league. ESPN has denied Bowlsby's claims. In a statement, they say the allegations have no merit. In baseball, major moves being made ahead of the non-waiver trade deadline, which is Friday afternoon. Yet Rangers have agreed to send their all-star outfielder Joey Gallo to the New York Yankees for four prospects. 27-year-old slugger ranks sixth in the AL this season with 25 long balls, 55 driven in. Got a .223 batting average. Also yesterday, Astros added more depth to their bullpen. They've acquired Miami Marlins closer Yimi Garcia. Oakland A's, meanwhile, in their division, did a trade with Miami as well. They've acquired center fielder Starling Marte for left-handed pitching prospect Jesus Lizardo. On the field yesterday and last night, Astros took the rubber game of their three-game set in Seattle with a 11-4 win. Rangers fell to the Diamondbacks 3-2. In the NFL, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott left yesterday's practice in Oxnard with soreness in his right throwing arm. An ensuing MRI determined Prescott has a mild muscle strain in his right shoulder. He's listed as day-to-day injury, not believed to be serious. And the 2021 NBA draft is tonight. Detroit Pistons own that top overall pick. They are a certain lock now, according to most, to draft Cade Cunningham, the phenomenal freshman from Oklahoma State. Rockets own the second pick. Spurs own the 12th.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
And in Tokyo, Buck, it's after 9 o'clock now, and USA in the books with 37 total medals now, 13 gold, 14 silver, 10 bronze.
Total, bring them on.
Bring them on. Bring them on.
Bring them
Most
on.
Most gold medals belong to
Japan?
China.
China.
With 14. 14 gold. Japan has 13.
I see that Johnny Manziel is now going to try to get to the PGA Tour. It's just kind of funny that
he's an aspiring golfer now.
Yeah, I know. Who was it yesterday? There was the NFL guy that was still ready to go play in the NFL, the wide receiver.
Chad Ochocinco.
Johnny Manziel and Chad ought to do something together. That's what they need to do. Like, just go away. The interest of...
Go away together?
Yeah, just go away together. I mean, he's going to... He said he's got... I think he says he's got like 12 years to make the PGA Tour tournament. And I'm thinking, okay. He says he's a scratch golfer. I think we all know a lot of scratch golfers that aren't playing on the PGA Tour. But Johnny Manziel, he's got to be in the news. And people are buying it that he can play in the PGA. Well, he's buying it.
Well,
I don't think people are buying it. He's buying it.
Johnny Manziel and former Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo are both teeing it up this weekend in the Texas State Open.
I think Johnny started
Romo
out
was a miracle.
Thank you very
by
much.
Being in last place.
Well,
he's dead last.
Who, Manziel?
Yeah, dead last.
He is in the field of 156 players, including 10 prior champions, at the Cascades Golf and Country Club in Tyler, Texas. He is dead last.
It's a long road to that PGA Tour from dead last in this.
Yeah, but he that's, you know, he's from, the Manziels are from East Texas, Tyler, and so he knows that course pretty well. But he
Well, so how's he doing?
Well, he's playing the best.
He's dead last.
The Texas State Open. Can we hear from Johnny Manziel? He after his round, he was asked yesterday, in one of his practice rounds, he was asked about Texas and Oklahoma joining the Southeastern Conference.
I think Texas A&M is in a great position no matter if Oklahoma or Texas decide to come, and it looks like they're going to. So, you know, I think it's great competition for the league. I think it'll make our conference better. And lucky for A&M, we have a, you know, nine, almost 10-year head start on both of those teams being in the SEC. So, you know, the rivalry's been gone for a while, and now it looks like it's going to come back. So it's time to just sack up and go play the game. You know, we're in a good position. We have a good coach. We have a good team. If they want to come to the SEC and see what it's all about, then we welcome them with open arms. But it is no cakewalk, and it is not the Big 12. So it should be interesting to see how things play out.
Johnny, I think. Sack up, Johnny. He said they need to sack up.
Hey, come on. It's
good job.
It's not Johnny football anymore. It's Johnny Golf.
Johnny PGA. Really? Johnny?
No, it's Johnny Golf.
No.
Johnny Golf, baby.
No.
Come on, man.
No. No, 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 no. Johnny PGA. That is cool.
Texas State Open and Tyler going on right now with Romo and Johnny Golf.
Dude, I got more things on the Aggies yesterday than I've ever seen. I got more everything after yesterday.
By the way,
my goodness.
Yes, we've seen the video with Bradley Cooper and the scene from American Hustle.
You don't have to send me that anymore. I got 50
funny,
of them.
Though. It's very funny, though.
I got 50 of them.
If I got 50, I got 100.
Yeah.
But yes, it is very, very funny. Well done by a video creator out there with that's an actual scene from the movie American Hustle with Bradley Cooper, but it's very, very funny and has gone absolutely viral.
Yes.
But here is the Stuart Mandel story here in our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. Tom McKay and his crew at avconsultations.com. Great partner of ours. Were you watching the Olympics on your 85-incher last night?
Absolutely. Watching the golf.
A little three-on-throw. Well, golf.
I didn't think I would, but man, kind of cool. There's a lot of great players. Plus, there's a lot of semi-great players from different countries. Couldn't make it on the PGA Tour. It's just fun to watch guys hit it into trees. That's fun, too.
Yeah. I did not see the golf last night, but I'll check in on the early action with the golf. But obviously, conference realignment continues to be the top conversation, even in our coach's corner. We're going to talk to Peter Burns of the SEC Network at the bottom of the hour. Brian Davis will join us at 8:05 this morning from the Austin American Statesman to talk about the Bob Bowlesby side of this and going on the offensive yesterday, cease and desist letter sent to ESPN for meddling, tortious interference, among others. But a story just out this morning from TheAthletic.com and Stuart Mandel is very interesting because, you know, on this show we've talked, or I've talked a lot about how, you know, comparing college football and the development of football in the United States versus soccer in the world, right, in the Premier League. This is interesting because the way Stuart Mandel writes it, he says, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is a voracious reader, and he loves to share books that he's enjoyed with the world. On January 3rd of 2019, 4 days before Alabama played Clemson for the national title, Sankey, while getting ready for that game, on Twitter recommended a book that had been released a month earlier called The Club, How the English Premier League Became the Wildest, Richest, Most Disruptive Force in Sports. And that was a book that was out a couple of years ago. So it's a book called The Club, written by Joshua Robinson and Jonathan Klieg. And the book explains how a select group of English soccer teams broke away from a longstanding mom-and-pop run grassroots-based league to form their own modern television-funded collective. If that sounds familiar, that could be the SEC. The creation of the new league infuriated the English soccer establishment, enraged the purists in the fan base, but it also became by far the most popular and lucrative sports league in the world. Obviously, Stuart Mandel goes on to draw the parallels between the Premier League and its growth and the wealth it creates, and now what is happening with the SEC in light of the moves made this week of going after Texas and Oklahoma. Now, the SEC says, no, we didn't even flirt with them. They came to us. We weren't even talking to them. But that is interesting to me because the SEC is obviously becoming its own super conference among all conferences, and Mandel writes, and this is not the first time we've heard this, but the idea is the SEC angling to be not just be 16, but is there a chance for 20? Is there a chance for 24? Could they try to poach Clemson? Could they try to poach Ohio State and some other big brands, maybe even USC out of the West Coast? And in doing so, create a super league to which, rather than the NCAA, the league itself sets their own rules to avoid running afoul of the federal court system. So essentially the 20 or 24 teams become its own league, make their own rules, and essentially break away from the establishment of college football and let the NCAA run the rest, but we're running our part.
Well, I mean, I've said that for years already, that it's the NCAA is not going to be there. What do you need them for anyway? It's eventually you're going to run your divisions, and no matter NCAA was on its way out anyhow. They don't have enough staying power, and they don't have enough power.
Well, I mean, the NCAA still has to run.
I know they got their basketball.
Somebody's got to run the other sports, right? Well, non-football.
Well, that's going to be a part of them saying goodbye too, because what you're talking about with the Premier League, this whole super deal, which circles itself around football, the basketball is going to be in step two eventually. NCAA will be gone out of this. They don't need NCAA rules. I don't understand why they get to do that anyway. I mean, Sankey's doing his best to run it all. He wants to be the commissioner of college sports, not just college football. They want to be the commissioner of all of college athletics.
I don't know.
Why?
Football pays the freight. I mean, that's the one breakaway. Because
you can have football. Why can't they own basketball too? What's keeping whether it's the SEC or just college athletics in general, just don't need the NCAA.
Well, I still think there's a role for the NCAA in organizing all of the other sports, the non-revenue sports, and under this, at least, parallel, you know, the SEC would become a 16 or 20 team behemoth, create its own rules and tell the NCAA
why
to go
stop
away.
At 20?
But there would still be the other non-20 schools that are, you know who's going to run those, so those kind of things would crop up. But I don't know. I mean, that's where are we going? I mean, I think is the fair question. What is the end goal of the SEC?
They want it all. They want to be like the Premier, like you just said. They want it all. They want everything.
Well, I mean, that's what they want everything in football.
No, they want everything in everything, I believe. They want college athletics.
The Premier League is just soccer.
I know,
right?
But so, I think they want everything, including basketball. They want to run college athletics. Somebody has to run college athletics. They need somebody to commission all of it.
But I would argue that that's too much and too big, because I don't know that they want that. I mean, because football, the parallel of the Premier League makes sense to me, because it's just football. You know, the NCAA has forever controlled March Madness. That's where they make their money. The NCAA makes their money on the college basketball tournament, the Field of 68, and that's always been the case. But the NCAA's had very little oversight in football for a long, long time. That goes all the way back to the 80s, where the conferences took control of their own TV rights, the conferences took control of. Now, they still operated under the rules of the NCAA.
Well, they still dole out punishment. Football,
correct?
Right?
Yeah, but they've operated their own TV deals. The NCAA doesn't make a lot of money from football. The football money goes to the conferences and the schools. NCAA makes its money on basketball. But in this scenario, you know, obviously, because all of college football has played under the umbrella and the rules of the NCAA all along. Even though they weren't making money and it wasn't, you know, the financial benefit all went to the conferences and schools. But under this, you know, Greg Sankey and the SEC would rise to the ultimate control and run their own football league, essentially, and let the NCAA run everything else, in my mind.
Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong with what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm wrong the fact that they just want football and solely own football. They want that.
And
I don't know why greed wouldn't stop you from trying to get it all.
Well, because, you know, basketball is such a that's a different thing. I mean, if you consolidate, say, 20 teams, well, you can control that, right? You can control 20 teams and sell a television contract to the TV networks surrounding 20 teams and your playoff, your tournament. I mean, those kind of things, and that doesn't encompass, you know, 330 college basketball teams. That doesn't bring in all of the other sports that go on that the NCAA oversees. Over the course of a season. Now, your individual schools who play in this Super Football League,
right?
They still participate in those other NCAA sports. They play college baseball, they play college volleyball, they play college basketball in the SEC.
Right.
So, yes, it is a very intriguing conversation, but I'm going to have to pick up that book and read that
book. But you got to think that they just want to start it. They want football. They don't want any other. They don't want to deal with anybody else. They don't want to be dealing with your basketball, your soccer, your volleyball. That's not what they want.
Well, I guess the reason for the book recommendation is intriguing, because the club, the subtitle is that How the English Premier League Became the Wildest, Richest, Most Disruptive Force in Sports. Well, you could draw that parallel to what the SEC is doing to college football and college athletics. Are they on their way? By adding Texas and Oklahoma to the stable of teams that they already have, you know, it just adds. I mean, the preliminary estimates suggest the SEC is going to be a $1.3 billion behemoth annually in TV rights alone, with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma. $1.3 billion annually just for those 16 teams and programs. I mean, that is ridiculous, but that's where it's headed. So I'm going to have to pick up that book and read it based on this, and I will retweet this actual full article from theathletic.com if you're a subscriber from Stuart Mandel drawing the parallels. And is this where the SEC is headed? And Texas is indeed headed to the SEC. Last night, another hurdle cleared with Texas A&M and their Board of Regents voting almost unanimously to get on board, essentially, with this, whether A&M fans are against it or not. The Board of Regents at A&M, led up by John Sharp, voted in favor of this, which means the president of Texas A&M today, when the SEC presidents gather, will vote for inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma, along with 13 others. So 14-0 is the expected vote today, Buck.
I would think so, yes. I don't think anybody's going to say nay.
Meanwhile, to continue further the parallel of Premier League and European soccer, Quinn Ewers, the number one prospect in the nation, quarterback, Southlake Carroll, report from Yahoo Sports yesterday that Quinn is considering skipping his senior season at Southlake Carroll, not playing for a state championship this year. Of course, last year lost to Westlake in the state playoffs. Cade Klubnik and the Chaparrals went on to win the state championship. But according to Yahoo Sports, in a conversation with Quinn Ewers says not only is he considering it, he's leaning towards skipping his senior season he has to take one English class online to finish his high school degree. But his argument is he can move to Columbus, he can begin preparing for college. And according to Quinn, he's got, people around Quinn Ewers, he's already got seven figures in deals lined up that he could take advantage of his name, image, and likeness.
Hometown hero.
And so seven figures. Could take advantage of that immediately, but obviously if he plays for Southlake Carroll, he still plays under the rules and guidelines of the UIL.
Absolutely. Somebody said, is this a trend? And it started with, it's not a trend, it's just going to happen. That's the way this is going to be. There's going to be kids that will skip out on their senior years of football, of basketball, whatever. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it's going to go. I'm not particularly liking it. I'm the team guy. So play with your team, finish out your year in football. But it's not a trend anymore. That's it.
It's a natural trickle-down effect.
Yeah, it's not a trend anymore. Well, you're gonna see a number of kids do this all over the country.
Well, and to continue the parallel with the Premier League, I mean, those Premier teams, they begin signing young talent when they're 12, 13, 14
Absolutely.
Years old and get them into their academies, and they rise through the ranks.
Take them from all over the country, bring them in.
And so this is a further example of that, because once you open the gates of financially gain – now all of a sudden, Quinn Ewers is going to make a decision. And do I play for high school and not make a bunch of money, or do I start prepping for my college career and make a bunch of money?
Well, it's going to be a lot of where your heart is.
That's right.
Or where your wallet is. It's one way or the other. Is your heart with your teammates, and how much do you love the game, or how much do you love the game and love the money?
Yeah.
And where the other people that you've left behind, What do you do? Well, they're just, I'm the star, so I got to go, and there's a lot of money involved in this. These are business decisions, I believe. They're not heart decisions. They're business decisions.
Well, you got to weigh the two. I mean, I think Cade Klubnik, I would argue, could make the same decision, but I think he wants to come back and defend his state championship and, play with his teammates one more season. But
sure.
Again, I mean, when people ask, is that a trend? The opportunity is out there, but the rules exist in the UIL.
That's right.
So, it's a natural trickle down for me of the system. I won't even say unintended consequences, but it's a natural effect.
And it's an opportunity.
Your thoughts on all of that as the SEC is a power conference on the line of the Premier League in soccer. Also, Quinn Ewers, a decision to make. His parents, by the way, wanted to stay and finish school and play with his team this year. The money will still be there when you get off to Columbus.
Oh, he's worried about getting hurt. Something could happen in between, and that's true. There's a lot of involvement in it. When you're talking about millions of dollars.
Somebody said he's scared of Westlake.
Probably.
We'll see, but he is the number one prospect, and of course, Cade Klubnik is committed to play at Clemson after his senior season. We'll come back. Your thoughts on those stories. Peter Burns will join us, the great TV anchor from the SEC Network. His thoughts on this week's events. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics for the end of the hour. Brian Davis will join us with Bob Bowlesby on the offensive with the Big 12. All of it covered for you right here, live, local, and digital on a Buck Off Thursday here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man. Very, very sad news yesterday. The sudden passing of Dusty Hill, the bass player for the great band ZZ Top, the Texas Trio. According to the band, passed away in his sleep at his home in Houston, Texas. He had just been sent home from a tour. He had a hip issue, they said. But the band did not reveal what the cause of death would be. But according to the remaining members of the band, of course, his compadres, Frank Beard and Billy Gibbons, says, "We will miss your steadfast presence, your good nature, your enduring commitment to providing the monumental bottom to the top. And we will forever be connected to that blue shuffle in C. You will be greatly missed." Mm. So the passing of the great Dusty Hill from ZZ Top, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, 50-plus years making it happen right here all in, from Texas and all over the world. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Obviously, we know the top story. It's SEC, Big 12, the Bob Bowlesby situation. But Texas and Oklahoma, a vote today among the 14 presidents of the Southeastern Conference to bring those two schools to the conference. With that in mind, let's talk to our friend Peter Burns from the SEC Network and good friend of the show. Peter, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Like, you know, I'm thinking about ZZ Top and thinking about, like, I don't ever know anybody that listened to ZZ Top and didn't like them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know they were super fans, but, like, you come back from break, they're like, yeah, that'll work. Like, it just gets you in a good mood my entire life.
Yeah, I was in a good mood every time. Anytime MTV came on and those dudes came on, I just stopped in a room and started just kind of shuffling around because it made me so – it made you feel great.
We're starting to age ourselves whenever we talk about MTV.
I know.
Right now we're getting old, right? You know, now we're talking about like Southwest Conference days back in the day.
Oh man, yeah, the old SWC and all that, man. Good times for sure. Peter, just your thoughts on the week. Obviously, it's been a whirlwind since last Wednesday and the Houston Chronicle reports and the events of this week with you know the letters sent and all the things happening, and today the presidents of the SEC will vote. What are your thoughts on what we're watching happen, the seismic shift in college athletics?
Yeah, guys, I mean, we talked about it a lot on our show and over on SiriusXM that July 1st kind of marked college sports 2.0, right? Like with name, image, and likeness and immediate transfers in the portal and eligibility and what was it going to look like? Little did we know that it would, you know, go this quick. And I think everybody kind of looked at this as a way to reset. And Texas and Oklahoma thought, hey, listen, you know, we could be big dogs here, or we can go where the big dogs are, which is the SEC, which has proven itself. I mean, obviously, I'm biased working for the SEC Network, but, you know, NFL draft comes, they do really well. Championship, they do really well. All the sports. So I think they just got to a point going, where do we want to land where it's stable in the future? They decide that they're going to leave the Big 12, and they reach out to the SEC. And, you know, Greg Sankey, the SEC, when you get a phone call from Texas – and that 512 number in Oklahoma, you really can't say no.
Yeah, you're right about that, Peter. You know, it was just a couple of weeks ago, we were at Big 12 Media Day and feeling real good, doing a morning show for 4 hours there, and I'm thinking, wow, this place looks really, really beautiful, how the Big 12 has set this up and Media Day, and man, are we in a good place in the Big 12. Needless to say, for the last 6 months, they've been getting ready to join the SEC. That's exactly what it was. They were preparing themselves, Oklahoma and Texas, to leave the conference.
Well, I think that any visionary leader, whether it be, you know, an athletic director or a university president, is always looking at not necessarily what's happening in 3 months, maybe 3 years or 10 years down the road. And, you know, I think that's probably something that was always in the back of their mind going, hey, if there is a chance, what does it look like? And now, you know, the opportunity presented itself to kind of reshuffle the deck. I mean, I can't tell you how many people in the SEC are completely jazzed. Like, I got people calling into my show from Texas A&M fan. I can't wait for the rivalry back. You know, Arkansas fans going, give me Texas and Arkansas baseball. I mean, LSU fans are hitting it nonstop. So there's definitely a whole bunch of juice around it. And I think that's what we're looking at. Like, college football in the future, it used to be about land grabs, right? Like, mm-hmm. How many television markets you can get, and now it's about brand grabs. Like, what brands are going to get the eyeballs because everybody's looking for, you know, either streaming numbers or cable television numbers.
Yeah, he is Peter Burns, SEC Network studio anchor on ESPN, also host of SiriusXM's SEC This Morning. Peter, the future, I mean, Greg Sankey has been very aggressive. You just talk about visionary. Obviously, he's building a super conference. There have been initial reports that maybe this isn't the end, that they're going to go after and try to get to 20 or 24. You believe that that's right, or you think 16 is the right number for them, big picture?
I think that there's a drop-off of, you got to look at quality versus quantity. Right, like you can add a bunch of teams. You know, I mean, at this point, the SEC can basically hostile takeover probably any conference they wanted to, outside maybe the Big Ten. But at what point do you have diminishing returns? Right, I think for them, they look at it and go, who really changes the game with the most efficient moves as possible? So, I don't foresee them making any other moves other than if all of a sudden, hey, you see this huge merger between Pac-12 and ACC and Big Ten, and you just kind of see kind of super conferences pop up then, and maybe then they would change. But I think they're staying pat at 16 for a while.
Peter Burns is with us. Peter, you just said on your show on SiriusXM, you're taking calls. Do you hear mostly excitement about this move, or are some SEC fans not excited to add two more teams and bring the Longhorns into the fray?
God, boys, are you kidding me? So pumped. I mean, they're thinking about going to Schultz Beer Garden and drinking the Fox. I mean, they're talking about, you know, grabbing like drunk slices of pizza over on 6th Street after a night out. I mean, they're so excited because, I mean, listen, when you talk about brands, there are very few teams that are going to have the quote unquote, you know, history, the pageantry, the cities that Boston and even the football teams and some of the other programs that Oklahoma brings. So they're pumped. We're pumped. You know, I know the rest of college football isn't necessarily the excited part about it, but I got to be honest with you. I mean, it's kind of become college football Darwinism and kind of the stronger surviving.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that, Peter. How about this for fans of the SEC and brand names? Texas brings a huge brand, maybe one of the bigger brands besides Alabama in the country. But brand names also mean you got to have wins. You got to come to the conference. And how long will it take? I mean, fans are going to eventually get to that part. All the excitement about going places and headed to the SEC and the wonderful places that you get to play in the SEC. Eventually, fans will, 3 years down the road, say, man, how many games are we winning in the SEC? Michigan is a brand name all over the place. And it's almost like, do they play in the Big Ten? Does Michigan play football anymore? I mean, is there a chance that could happen to Texas? Or what are your thoughts on them having to win and win pretty quickly?
Well, hell, I mean, you can say that. I mean, Steve Spurrier yesterday was asked about it, going, hey, what do you think about Texas joining the SEC? And he goes, well, I mean, hell, they couldn't win the Big 12, so they might as well try something different, right? I mean, that's you know, classic Spurrier, giving a little bit of a nudge. But, yeah, it's not going to get any easier. Now, I do think that all of this comes at a perfect time. By the way, I'm out of breath because I'm playing golf with my dad. So,
nice.
I'm just letting you know, I'm not, like, on the treadmill or something. That you know, it comes at a perfect time with Steve Sarkisian coming in, right? Because now you're able to reset it. He can get a year underneath his belt. And, I mean, I would love to see them join the league in 2022. But at this point, you have no idea. But it gives them an opportunity to say, fresh start, Sark's our guy, this is the future.
Peter Burns is with us. Peter, last thing, how do you handicap? Well, we'll get more into this maybe in our next visit into August, but there is going to be a college football season in about 37 days beginning. How do you handicap the SEC? It's really interesting with all the quarterbacks moving on and Mac Jones and
new
Kyle
coaches.
Trask and new coaches. I mean, obviously Alabama's the favorite, but what's your overview of what the SEC looks like in 2021?
It's amazing, right? I mean, you know, we've become so consumed. We're like Pavlovian going, all right, football season, Alabama's the favorite. I actually think it's Georgia's the favorite this year.
Wow.
I mean, you know, JT Daniels, the kid that transferred from USC, played great at the end of last year. Kirby's never had a better roster. And now with the transfer portal, any kind of weakness they had, they could just go plug and play. So, hey, I think Bama is, you know, it's the same throne, new dragons, right, boys? I mean, like, they don't necessarily miss. I just don't think they're going to be as elite as Georgia this year. So I kind of handicap it as Georgia. Right behind them will be Alabama and A&M. And LSU is a roller coaster ride. I mean, they could go either way. But had Oklahoma entered the conference this year, I think they might have been the second best team in the SEC.
Interesting. Last thing, Peter, the Arkansas Razorbacks, Longhorns play them week two. Thoughts on Coach Pittman's team in year two?
I love this matchup because Sarkisian is offensive genius, but the genius move that Sam Pittman made was hire former Missouri coach Barry Odom. Like, they don't have a ton of talent, guys. Like, they don't. But Barry Odom is an X and O SOB. They can't wait for that little, you know, little kind of test game between Odom and Sark in that week two. So Texas should, in theory, have more, you know, more guys. But, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think that the actual, you know, strategy and the X and O's of it are actually leaned towards the Hogs. So.
Interesting. Peter, thanks, man. Enjoy the round of golf with your pops. I know you're getting some time off, and I appreciate you giving us some time this morning because our audience appreciates, and we do too.
Thank you, Peter.
I just can't wait to be back in Austin, boys. We're going to plan the road trip. I'm in. I want to get thrown out of Stubbs or Antone's or something like that.
Listen to you.
All in. Yeah, we're still bummed we didn't get to go to Baton Rouge last year because of the pandemic, so we'll make amends on all of that, my friend.
Love it, boys. See y'all soon.
All right, hit him straight. Peter Burns. There you go. We'll do more with him into the month of August and really talk some college football because there is going to be a season. And Buck,
yeah, there are really games to be played. There are other things out there with games and teams and how you do it and how you break it down.
37 days out. Texas and Louisiana. Here we go. Count them down. All right, coming back. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show. After the top of the hour, Brian Davis will jump on and his thoughts on Bob Bowlesby, Commissioner of the Big 12, going on the attack yesterday. And say this to yourself, Buck, on a Buck Off Thursday. Without Texas and Oklahoma, Bob Bowlesby is mad because he thinks the American Athletic Conference is trying to poach the Big 12. think about that. I mean, that's all. Really? The AC is poaching Big 12 teams. That's where it stands right now without Texas and Oklahoma in the conference. We'll talk to Brian about that. It's B&E with you.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Oh, man, hot and not. How about the USA? USA, 37 total medals now at the Olympics of Tokyo. 13 gold, including gold for Caleb Dressel, men's swimmer in 100-meter freestyle. Set a new Olympic record as the USA continues to do very, very well in the swimming pool. Also, the USA women won the first ever 3-on-3 gold medal in basketball. 3-on-3 hoops. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm watching volleyball now.
I just saw a lady with pink hair from Turkey.
Wow.
Like, pink hair. Like, that's some pink hair.
I would not want to get faced up with one of those balls hitting you dead in the mug. Man.
USA is playing Turkey hard. Right now. That is some hair right there. Isaiah Collier is with us. He's our producer. Brian Davis will join us after the top of the hour with the conversation on Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12 and their fight against ESPN. But, Zay, what are you having, hot or not?
Thanks, E. Your boy's a little distracted because I just got done watching Brazil volleyball. So you can only imagine how that went for you, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, no. That's
who won?
I have no idea. Hopefully Brazil.
He didn't care.
Hopefully Brazil so they can move on. But anyways, Kelvin Benjamin already got sent home because the Giants cut him. Now, Kelvin, you remember him being a wide receiver. For the Carolina Panthers over the past few years. I don't think last year or anything. He's been struggling to get back in the league.
Bad knees, right? He had some knee problems.
Yeah, and he also had some diet problems because now he's a tight end. So, yeah, there that goes. But he roasted Coach Joe Judge after being cut by saying he's not a coach that can ever win a Super Bowl because he sits there and cusses all day. He's a know-it-all. That's not how it's supposed to work. We can all learn from each other. We're all humans. At the end of the day, the true colors will come out.
Wow. Well, I mean, have you ever met football coaches? They like to cuss and they think they know it all.
That's true. They do cuss, don't they?
This is the first football coach Kelvin's played for.
So do basketball coaches.
But good coaches are a little bit more collaborative, and you don't have to cuss. Tony Dungy was never a cusser. You know what I mean? Tony Dungy never cussed, won a Super Bowl. But, Joe Judge, he's a hothead. But I think he's a good football coach. Are the Giants any good?
No.
I was reading up on the Giants, getting ready for this NFC East with the Cowboys and the Washington football team and Philadelphia. And, you know, in New York, the thought is it's all about Daniel Jones. If he performs, it's kind of like the Baker Mayfield effect. If he has a great year, they feel like they've added pieces.
They've got great running back.
Great running back is back in Saquon. They've added weapons. Their defense was excellent last year in the first year under Joe Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that if Danny Dimes plays at a high level, even without Kelvin Benjamin now, that they could be, I mean, that division's there for whoever wants to come get it, right? Cowboys, Washington won it last year.
Yeah, if their offensive line is decent and he's decent, then, but he's got to be more than decent. They're waiting because they'll make a move on him soon, too. He'll get about one more year.
No, yeah, I mean, he's in the prove-it year. There's no question. I mean, he
then that's it.
This is the year for Daniel Jones, who was the sixth pick in the draft. He's either going to turn into Baker Mayfield, and he is the guy, or it's going to be Sam Darnold, and he's going to be out, right? Sam Darnold with the Jets last year. Now, the Jets cross town, they never put weapons around Sam Darnold, so it was really hard to judge. I don't know that you can say that about Daniel Jones. They've got pieces that should be a pretty formidable offense if he performs.
Yeah,
at that quarterback position for offensive coordinator Jason Garrett.
I love it for the Jets how they put the pieces around the young guy from BYU. I mean, they put pieces around that guy.
Well, they haven't even signed the quarterback from BYU yet. Is Zach Wilson in camp? The heck are they doing?
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
That's why they're the Jets.
You had the second pick. You know what the salary slot is.
That's right.
Get the kid signed. I think his mom's in the way of that deal. Remember her? She's a little bit... Remember, she's
Could
the Instagram.
Be.
She's the famous Instagram self-help lady, Zach Wilson's mom.
She got to get her deal.
She's helping.
By the way, can you get my mom's deal done too? While you guys are at it,
remember that story we had in Hot and Not? Zach Wilson begging his mom to get off the social media.
Yes.
She won't because she's a lifesaver.
Yeah, that's right.
She saves lives, Buck.
Firefighter. She's a regular firefighter. You're right.
She puts out fires.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is interesting. Good stuff. Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin, not a fan of Joe Judge. Well, you know, Kelvin was out of Florida State, big, tall receiver who's now eating himself into being a tight end. And he got cut.
It sounds like he's
the first day.
He sounds like.
You didn't make it to the first day?
He sounds like he's eating himself past everything, past being a tight end. Or they would have tried him out of tackle. He was an athletic guy, but he really hurt his knee. And when his knees got going, that was it. That really was it for him.
Speaking of football, we'll get to the Dak Prescott story. Looks like a minor situation for the Cowboys. He left practice yesterday. You think this is a little bit of a early camp, maybe a sore arm situation.
Like the rest of the guys have. That's just news to be made. Yes.
Yeah. It does open the eyes that they really don't have much of a backup quarterback. Garrett Gilbert, former Longhorn, would be in Lake Travis Cavalier.
That shouldn't be surprised. They never have. They don't generally do that. Last year they did it, but they haven't done it for years and years. Big news is Jimmy Johnson getting ready to head into the Hall of Fame, but not to the Ring of Honor. I'll say that's going to happen this year, too.
For Jerry Jones?
Yes. Jerry's going to put him in. After he cried 2 weeks ago, I mean, he literally cried. He's going to put him in to the Ring of Honor if he's going into the NFL Hall of Fame. That makes sense.
Yeah, I would be hot on that. Jimmy Johnson should already be in the Cowboys' Ring of Honor.
Jerry doesn't understand. He said, I don't know what happened and how I got to this point. I do. Ego. Your ego got in the way.
I did hear Aaron Rodgers yesterday. He had a long press conference after the Packers' first practice. He was pretty candid on the issues. We'll have to hear some of that sound coming up. But coming up next, it's the very latest from Brian Davis on the beat of the Longhorns, the Big 12. Bob Bowlesby on the attack. Cease and desist letters have been sent to ESPN. We'll let you know why coming back. Also, big trade in baseball. Trade deadlines tomorrow. Rangers are trading Joey Gallo to the Yankees. We'll get you details coming back. Live, local, and digital. We're streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.